Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally, my co-host here, Dave Popowich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Faisal. How are you?
We have got a great show. I'm doing great, and I'm very interested in today's show because there's different parts when it comes to what's happening out there. Mm-hmm. First, we're going to be definitely chatting about the biggest trend amongst people over the age of 50 right now.
Is it pickleball?
The second biggest trend happening to people over the age of 50, gray divorce.
Yeah.
That's a big one,
yeah.
Right? Then we also have, with this whole concept of artificial intelligence, yeah. What's all the fraud that's happening out there?
It can become used for good and for evil, can't it?
Oh, it was like the internet was, right?
Yeah.
Good and evil.
And the bad guys figure it out quickly.
Very quickly. And So we want to make sure you're aware of some of the issues and where to get some resources to help you with what's really changing when it comes to it.
Well, we're going to bring the Alberta Securities Commission on to help understand that.
Correct. And then there's a problem that people have when they're talking about giving an inheritance. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a gift isn't a gift.
Right.
Huh.
I had a really, really, I think, amazing experience this week that I want to share to help families that are in that phase of life and have the ability to gift to kids, grandkids, and so on and so forth. Because it's a two-way street to avoid the problems of the gift becoming something other than that. An argument or a problem.
Whew. You know what? What else was a gift this week?
What?
The markets were kind of giving us a gift of not as high a volatility as you would expect, given the economic numbers that have come out from inflation, especially in the United States.
Well, it was well said, because it was an interesting trading week, given the fact that Tuesday and Thursday gave us inflation data points in the United States that indicated that inflation is running a little bit hotter than what was expected. And the reaction mechanism, of course, for the past 18 months has been, if inflation expectations are higher or if it's higher, the expectation of the bond market yields go up, and that takes equity markets down. And it was pretty much a sideways trade this past week. So it was kind of a bit of a look through on that. And I think that gives us some insights as to maybe, you know, where the market's at, rightly or wrongly, where they're at. But I think the market is still comfortable in its view that there's some sticky inflation here.
Yep.
The Fed's move, we're at peak inflation, the Fed, Bank of Canada, Bank of England, unlikely to raise rates at this particular point, but there's still a pretty active debate about when they will cut rates. And my question is to you is, who cares? Should we care about when they cut the rate?
Yeah, and I think so. Let's answer the question: who really cares about this? Bond traders.
Yeah,
I think those are the ones that probably care the most.
Yeah.
But if it's a matter of a rate cut of a quarter of a percent, a half a percent, or 1%, what's the big difference overall to the average Canadian or average American?
Right.
Not much. Not much.
In terms of day-to-day living or in terms of investing?
What a rate cut signifies, especially to the business community, that they can now possibly take on the understand that there's going to be there's a top in their interest rate part. It's not going to go up more. So now I can now forecast what my cost would be if I want to expand,
right.
If I want to borrow money, if I want to hire people. I know what my cost of capital is.
Right.
If rates continually go up, you have no idea, especially with these loans that are out there called floating rate loans, you have no idea if you're going to be paying more and more and
more. What's your cost of capital?
So you slow down your business.
Yep.
You don't invest in it. You don't take out the loans until you know. A rate cut would signal to the business community that it's probably not going to go back up.
Right.
And that gives a bit of confidence. Will it be the moving needle and shifting of everything in the economy? I don't think so.
Right. Fair points. The other thing that came out, again, U.S. data. We get much better U.S. data than we get anywhere else. So that's why we're often talking about it. But, you know, looking at U.S. retail sales. Now, the most recent data said there was a rebound in U.S. retail spending, but it came in below expectation. So this week we had a combination of a little bit higher than expected inflation data, and a little bit lower than expected retail spending. And keep in mind that in North America, 70% of our economy is people like you and me and our listeners and viewers all going out and spending, right? Buying stuff.
Correct.
So given all of that, it was interesting to see. It was a kind of a subdued, tepid sort of trade throughout the course of the week.
And it's a lagging indicator. It's already happened. Mm-hmm. So what is happening right now? Look right at the number of people have delinquencies on their mortgages, have delinquencies on their car payments. Look at the amount of insolvencies or proposals coming out. This is more real time of where the puck is going, yep, versus where the puck was, using a hockey analogy. Yep. And I think that's where people have to understand that when they report retail sales, it already happened. When they report employment, it already happened.
It's past, yeah.
When they talk about inflation, they're talking about inflation that just happened. What's happening now that can be more of a leading indicator or consistently right within the current time is also something you need to look at. And it doesn't look great. Like, it's not like there's a whole bunch of more credit being passed around, so people are growing. There's right not like a whole bunch of mortgages and people are buying homes. That's a slowdown in the economy. Now, is it recessionary? To be determined.
Yep.
But it's a slowdown.
Yep.
And I think that's exactly what the central banks want. One thing that I keep on hearing is we're going to get into a major stock market crash. We're going to get into a major recession. The data doesn't show that yet.
Right.
However, there could be a slowdown.
Right.
So be prepared for all those different scenarios.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to be data dependent and adjust your strategy. I've got to be careful how I say that. Make sure that you're disciplined in your asset allocation and make sure that you've got a compass pointing to the long-term strategy, that the outcome that you're trying to achieve.
You know, right? What I find very interesting when we're starting to see like interest rates go back up in the US this week, we saw it bounce back up from the lows and so forth. No one talks about buying bonds. No one talks about how the fixed income market is even more attractive when rates go up.
I think we've talked about that.
No. I mean, when you turn on any business news channel.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And what's interesting and sexy and entertaining is what's happening in the business world. And, oh my God, interest rates are up. This is terrible for companies. We're going to go into a massive recession. You hardly hear these business news outlets come out and say, you know, for every time that something happens in the economy or every time that something happens in the global markets, there's an opportunity to make money. Here's the opportunity.
Right.
They're talking about small cap versus large cap stocks, Canada versus international stocks. Boring bonds are getting attractive.
Or alternatives, right? There's lots of other spaces to go. And you're right. The bond markets, as a saver, central banks have essentially suppressed your ability to get return on conservative savings for the past 15 or 16 years. We can now get.
Financial repression is unwinding.
Right. And hopefully we're not going back there. Okay. Let's wrap this up. We've got a really cool show, as you said, but we've got an upcoming seminar that we should invite people out to, because we're going to talk about how to make sense of all this
stuff. We've got two seminars. The first one, Tuesday, March 19th. Sandman Signature Hotel in Lethbridge. You need to register for that. And if you want to join us on April the 16th here in Calgary at the Silver Springs Golf Course, you need to also register at morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com. This is where we're going to talk about where you are now. How do you actually bulletproof your retirement, give you the income and the cash flow that you need for your entire life? But we're going to talk about one piece that's not being discussed in this type of a market. We've had pretty decent returns over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so people are going to start to see all the advertising about how great portfolios, their performance numbers are, but they're missing something that they should really attend this seminar to at least get that piece out of it. And then, of course, making sure that you have your income for the rest of your life in your retirement to meet the lifestyle that you want to have. I think those are the two pieces that you're going to learn from this seminar.
Perfect. Okay, stick around after the break, because more people are facing divorce later in life. What does that do to your retirement? You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.